Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth. This hour, when panelists from Sale High School discuss and explore attitudes regarding LGBTQ issues here in 2019. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me, I'd like to welcome Jude Countryman. Jude is a veteran. We're always glad to have him back. He's president of the student body, aren't you?
I am.
Congratulations. Sale High School. He is a senior, and he is into film and editing.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Nicholas Bishop, Sale, 11th grade, music.
Hi.
Okay. Kimberly Griffith, 9th grade, piano. And painting.
Thank you.
Lindsay Griffin, 9th grade, art and politics.
Hi.
Glad to have you. Taylor Welsh, veteran, glad to have you back. 9th grade, guitar and mathematics are her thing.
Hello.
And another veteran, Cooper Wright. Cooper is a graduating senior into policy and rock and writing.
Hello.
I'm always glad to have my Sale contingency. You all know that. If they're regular, Sale has been with me for, I won't say how many years, from the inception of 411 Teen, which means you all have been around, maybe not you, but you've been around 24 years. That's how long 411 Teen has been on the air. Okay. Americans have become significantly more accepting towards homosexuality or LGBT. After years of intolerance, societal attitudes are more tolerant. But LGBTQ issues remain controversial. Societal attitudes towards LGBTQ community vary according to the culture and to education. Over the past year, we have seen court decisions allowing gay couples to marry and expanded anti-discrimination protection for gay workers, just to name a few. What I would like to know from you all as we open up this discussion is, what is the general attitude that you encounter among your peers concerning the LGBTQ community? It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Well, from my point of view, it seems to be less and less important whether you're gay or not. But, we live in a pretty accepting area. So, here, it's okay to be LGBT, at least.
Okay. Whoever, feel free.
At Sale, I know, it tends to have, a bigger community of LGBTQ than other high schools, just because it's kind of fostered that community. Mm-hmm. I know we're a little biased because, I'm a little biased, but I do see, a general trend of acceptance, especially at Sale.
Okay, and I appreciate that, but what about outside Sale? I mean, because what I want to know is generally the attitude, and recognizing that Sale is very, progressive. Sales on top of things, okay? Especially as far as societal and social issues, I really think that you all are on the cutting edge, okay? Outside of Sale, when you think about your interactions with various peers or whatever, what are you finding and what do you see? Cooper, I'll go to you. You want to move over? Okay.
Overall, still, America is overwhelmingly supportive of the LGBT community. There's still some stigma, but overall, there's been, like, a really large shift over, like, the last 20, 15 years that's, like, really notable now. And if somebody brings up something a little bit odd about it, like, the entire room just kind of, like, shuts down or gets really loud.
Okay.
One way or the other.
Okay. Let me go around and I'll come back to you all.
Oh, I agree with Cooper and Jude and Svea. I feel like, you know, nowadays, it's just more accepting and we're allowed to be who we want to be and people are allowed to do that. And there will always be, like, those certain groups of people who are like, no, this is wrong. But other than that, I feel like everybody else is just like, yay.
That's positive. That's great. Yes, ma'am.
I definitely agree that the shift that has been over the past, like, 20 to 15 years, it was, like, it's not normal at all. Like, it, not a lot of people even knew what it really meant at most points, but now everyone knows what it even means, and they're actually discovering themselves. Like, they may have not even been accepting of it, but now they know that they are part of it. And it's really cool that that's a thing, because if the shift has not, like, never got, like, shifted, then I don't think they would be who they are now.
Okay.
I think our generation as a whole is kind of starting to become more accepting generally, especially towards LGBTQ issues, and I think that's having a lot of influence on other generations as well. But I think there are definitely still some areas where there are problems.
And I tend to agree with you, because that's why I wanted to do this. Because, sure, yes, maybe among my circles it's very open, but my circles don't include, you know, the overall, and that's what I want to hear. I know you all three of you had comments you wanted to add. Go right ahead.
I like to spend some of my time on the internet like every teenager, and it's pretty okay, but, like, you can find a lot of, like, pockets of hatred in the internet. Really amplifies people's voice, and it also kind of is easy to, like, fall down this hole of, like, homophobic comments and stuff like that. So it's getting better, but is it perfect, you know?
Okay.
I agree with Jude that there's a lot of, at least, and I usually do hang out in progressive circles, but outside of those, there are pockets, like, websites that really do foster a toxic community. The other thing that I've noticed is that while, you know, homosexual and homoromantic people are widely accepted by America, there is a little bit of, there's still a lot of stigma on the transgender community because, you know, they are being targeted with more anti-legislation and they're not as protected. Like, Taylor today was talking about how a transgender woman was being discriminated against. Like, she was fired from her job because she came out about her
being transgender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was fired for that. So, you know, transgender rights still aren't protected. Like, I think you said, like, gay rights had been protected, that, like, you can't fire someone. But you know, transgender people aren't getting that. They don't have that yet. So I do think there is a general trend of acceptance for, you know, the gay community. But I think the transgender community needs a little more support from everyone.
Okay. Did you have you wanted to share, Cooper?
I think it's only a matter of time. I think that we just need to make sure that people are aware that these people, God forbid, are actually human beings. and we really shouldn't give a damn about what they think of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you really going to waste breath on this? Just, who cares? Just let them be who they want to be.
And that's a really commendable attitude, but the reality is that we're not there.
I know, that's the problem.
That's where...
Saying what people should think doesn't change their opinion.
Right, yeah.
And at the same time, there are a lot of people in power who have these views. Like, it's all well and good if you have, like, a transphobic neighbor to be like, hey, I don't care what you think, but if the people are in power who are targeting, like, systemically, then there needs to be a bigger pushback. There needs to be a spotlight on those... We can't just ignore them because it's a bigger issue than that. Because the people in power are the ones who are discriminating. And when that happens, you do need to visibly push back against them. You can't ignore them and make them go away.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that comes to mind in your comments is I think about Vice President Cheney, I think that's how you really say it. But anyhow, he was all opposed to... Yeah, gay marriage and all of this. And then when his daughter came out, he changed his attitude. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's good. But I think that people, unless there is some direct connection, they don't have an appreciation or an understanding of just what this involves. You know, what does it mean to be a member of the LGBTQ population? Do I make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I also think one of the problems is that, you know, even in progressive spaces, there are transphobic individuals such as TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists, and they're a pretty large problem facing that, because they hold the same transphobic ideals, and I think we need to combat it in both progressive spaces and spaces that we deem less progressive, because there is, like, a lot of pushback on that community from even inside our own spaces, and we have to be aware of that as well.
You're tuned into 411 Teen. This hour I'm talking with students from Sale High School. We're talking about the LGBTQ community and attitudes that are associated with it. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This hour, we are talking about issues and attitudes associated with the LGBTQ community. I did not have a chance to recognize you, ma'am, but I know you had something you wanted to share.
Yeah, I think that on the topic of transgender community, like, there's the community, and then there's also that little group of people that think that there should be only one way that you can be transgender. And that one way of being transgender is you are female to male, or you're male to female, and that's how it is. But some transgender people, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be female to male, but I still want to do makeup, I still want to wear a wig sometimes, I still want to do whatever. But that little group of people are very condemning and very unaccepting of that group of people that just want to do their own thing but still feel more comfortable in a male or female body. And it kind of sucks that that happens, because, you know, we should all be accepting, but that group of people don't really get accepted because of that stereotype.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, on another topic, like, there's, I think it's called transmedicalism, where it's like you get, like, a group of people think that you have to have gender dysphoria or else you're not, like, a valid, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have, like, non-binary individuals,
When you say, let me just, for the listening audience, define non-binary, okay? Because a lot of people don't understand. You know, I had to read up to make sure I had my nomenclature together, okay? But they don't know. It's like, well, you are black or are you African-American? You know what I mean? It's kind of that kind of thing. So if you just help the listening audience by defining what that is, okay?
I don't want to misrepresent anyone, but I think it's like it's not in the binary of male or female. It's like some people like to view it as a spectrum of mm-hmm. non-binary individual. So you're not either of the binaries. You can be closer to the two binaries, or you could not. You could be like in the middle.
Exactly.
But it
varies. You could be, today you might feel like being closer to male, tomorrow you might not. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the issues that has come up recently. It was raised this about a dress code, and this is just currently, I mean, in the news. There was a dress code that was being explored, and they were saying that, you know, males need to dress with pants and a tie. And one of the employees brought up the issue that they were non-binary and that sometimes they might dress, you know, with a coat and a tie, and sometimes other times they may not. So should they be penalized? And we can talk about this right now. Should they be penalized because they don't feel like dressing like a male, or feel like dressing, you know, like female, or whatever? How do we handle those kinds of issues?
I personally believe it's pretty simple. Let's say, like, when I first found out about non-binary people, I didn't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why or how does it look? But it's ultimately, I realized, not really my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really tell them what.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments, thoughts on this? Right. And feel free, we'll just go around the table. I'll get to you.
Sorry.
Yeah, go right ahead, Cooper.
Right. So a lot of people think that only they can decide who's truly male and who's truly female, right? As if the person isn't what they say they are. Like, there's like some kind of gate, and they walk up to it, and then they decide, hold on. You're not a real transgender. Just go away. Like, who decides
who
that?
Yeah.
Like, is there, like, a set of rules or guidelines to determine who is and who isn't transgender? Like,
come on. You raise the topic. Yes. Go right ahead. I'll go around the table.
I was just going to say about the whole, like, dress code thing. And it was, like, at a workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, my thing is that I think, as long as it's work appropriate, I think they should be able to wear whatever they want.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that, because when that topic was mentioned, I was just thinking, since when did we really label that males wear this and females wear this? I don't really remember when that kind of happened, but.
Well, there are places that do have dress codes.
Yeah.
You know. And they have expectations of how they expect the male to be dressed, and maybe he's supposed to have a tie and that kind of thing. There are.
Yeah. But I'm just like thinking, like, why do we have to have those stereotypes for certain people mm-hmm. when there are clothes for literally anyone to buy and for anyone to wear if they want to wear it and feel comfortable wearing it? Because especially for non-binary people, they're aren't really specific things that non-binary people can wear. There's not a non-binary section in Walmart or Target, so they really just can't really have a certain dress code, like, oh, dress like your born gender or whatever. That I don't
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think especially with something that really is as small as what clothing somebody is wearing, mm-hmm. it shouldn't really matter that much to somebody else about what somebody else is wearing. Like, if it's impacting your... It shouldn't be impacting your life that much where you have to be outspoken about not wanting somebody to wear a certain right. set of clothing.
Right, yeah.
I say, I think it's kind of weird because I older generations might tell you men always dress this way, but across history and across different cultures, men and women were like different kinds of clothes. So, like, it's kind of like, they're like kind of stuck in a binary mindset when they never really was a binary.
And define binary for listening. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Well, it's like two ends of a spectrum, really. One point is male and one point is female, and you can be either male or female.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
And, like, on the topic of, like, non-binary individuals, there have been, like, like, you know, like, a third option across multiple cultures throughout history. Even if it's not, you know, what we consider Western culture or whatever. it's still, you know, they've still existed. They've still been throughout history and influenced it. So I think discounting that would be weird.
Okay. All right. As we talk about LGBT community, one of the concerns I've had, and that's how we started this program, was just the attitudes that are formed. And I know they're based on stereotypes and whatever. What role do you feel religion plays in the formation of attitudes toward this community? Yes,
ma'am. Okay. So, I am very non-religious. I'm atheist, and I'm pansexual. And I was talking to my friend.
Define pansexual.
So, it basically means that I'm into girls or guys, transgender women or female or male. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't really matter. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm attracted to you, then I'm attracted to you.
Right.
That's how I feel about it. But... one of my friends tried to make me go to church with her, and I was like, you realize I'm atheist, and I don't think they would really support me there. And she was like, oh, well, that's another reason why you should go. And I was just like, what? Like, it was almost like she was wanting me to go because I was.
Because you were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow.
Well, and then the other side, the other side of it is, I mean, going, looking, how does anybody know what you are? Are you supposed to go and advertise it?
No, it's... Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she clearly knows. Like, I've told her.
But going to her church, how is she going to put out a sign and let everybody know before you come?
You're right. Like, I don't...
I mean... Yeah. It's escaping me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Can you repeat the topic? Sorry, I really had a
Well, we're just
there.
Talking about the impact of religion.
Yeah.
And attitudes.
Yeah, I think that it does impact all of the communities a lot, because I think that a lot of people in the transgender or LGBTQ or any community, really, that is anything other than straight, really. They kind of label Christians as Christians, or any other religion as their religion, and they say, oh, the Christians. But I don't think some realize that not all Christians have that mindset of, like, oh, we're going to discriminate you because of who you are and, like, who you're attracted to, because not all Christians do that. So you can't really label an entire religion on that topic.
Okay. moving right along, no problem.
I am disabled, I didn't know, and I always understood how LGBT people felt, because in the Bible, like, there's not really any room for, like, someone that's, like, different, someone that isn't normal in religions, because they're made for a lot of people, so they generalized. But, what was I saying? But, so I think that, religion can try and do a better job at, like, including people and, like, pointing out where there are different kinds of people in, like, the Bible, for example.
Well, I do think it is important that you should be able to distinguish that, like, you are able to tell that, you know, not all Christians and not all religious people are going to be discriminatory. I do think it's also important to acknowledge that the history of, like, one religion that's impacted multiple people has kind of, like, it's been systemic for the longest time. And so that system, like, has oppressed against the LGBT community historically. You know, like, the AIDS crisis, a lot of people didn't respond. Like, I know I'm bringing up old stuff, but
no.
Like, it's just an example of how, like, a lot of people were like, oh, this is God punishing the LGBTQIA plus community. And I think, you know, like, the Save Our Children campaign, I forgot when exactly that was launched, but that was also in, like, the 80s or 90s, which was just, you know, it was homophobia. Like, you know, they phrased it as, like, you know, the stereotype that all homosexuals are predatory or pedophiles, and it played into that. And that was because of, you know, a religion, an overarching religion. I do think that religion is probably one of the major reasons people are still intolerant today, is because they are unwilling to be progressive and unwilling to interpret, like, just unwilling to accept because based on their religion. I do think it's important to acknowledge that not every person who is religious is like this, but I also think it's important to acknowledge the systemic role it has played in shaping and the LGBT community, and, you know, how it will respond to it sometimes based on that.
Okay. Any other comments? Cooper?
So, actually, like, about roughly once every month, I might go to church with my Christian sister. I'm not really religious, but I have nothing better to do. And I learned a story. Part of the reason why Jesus went down to earth was to work as, like, a little bit of a medium for the quote-unquote sin that has existed after God realizes that sin is just a normal part of human existence, right? And transgender people, LGBT people, a lot of them can't really help it. It's what happens, like, there's a lot of, like, mental differences, like, in the development process that psychologists have noticed, like, in physical brain patterns. So it's not like they can change it consciously, and trying to do so would infringe on other people's rights, especially if it was enforced by a government. because what is, like, the forced conversion therapy?
You all are on top of it, because I was just getting ready to say a couple things. We need to talk about conversion therapy. We also need to talk about the etiology of LGBTQ. Is it genetic? Is it learned? Okay? You know, where does it come from? Because that's another thing. Oh, well, it's not genetic. There's nothing different. They just choose to be that way. You know, it's just their choice. I mean, I know you've read and heard that attitude. So you all are jumping ahead of me. Okay, but I recognize both of those things that you're saying, and we're going to come to them. Yes, ma'am, and then we'll have a break and we'll come back, okay?
I just wanted to go back on the topic of, like, what I was talking about earlier. Like, I know that there are people who are still accepting and Christian and all that kind of stuff. Like, I've met those people.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also had a majority of people try to belittle me, mm-hmm. who just so happened to be Christian and told me that I was going to hell. And, that, like, just trying to make me be ashamed of who I am and for liking someone that they don't think is right. Like, I'm just scared of that.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I would like to know from you, how do you respond? How do you handle those kinds of positions when you're told you're going to go to hell because of who you are? You're tuned into 411 Teen, and I am talking with the Sales School Contingency, one of my favorites always. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, I am talking with students from Sale High School, and we have been talking about attitudes toward the LGBTQ community. I don't know where I stopped. Who was going to be next? You were going to be next, okay? Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You were saying how you wanted to know.
Now, like, I wanted to know how you respond, because you were talking about how people were telling you were damned and you were going to go to hell because you are you.
Yeah. So I'm not like a go-getter person. I'm mm-hmm. a very like mild, calm person. Yeah. So when people like say something really offensive to me, I kind of just try to ignore it and move on. Obviously, like, I'll think about it later and be like, oh my gosh. But I don't know how it is for other people, but I know for me, like, when that happens, I'm just like, oh, like, my friend's grandmother said that to me one time, and, like, I had to spend the night at their house.
Oh, my goodness. How did you handle that?
And it was really scary. But, like, she kept making comments about it, and I never really said anything, but my friend noticed that, like, I was annoyed by it, and she was like, well, just think, and she was talking to her grandma, she was like, just think about it, what if I was gay, like, what would you say to me? And she shut her mouth real quick.
Okay.
So it kind of just, like, you either have to give them a perspective, like, what if your family was like this, mm-hmm. so they can be like, oh, yeah, like, I wouldn't want anybody talking to, like, my daughter like that, or something like that.
Yes.
I also think it's important to acknowledge that, like, there are some parents who aren't that. Like, if their child was part of the LGBT community, they'd not be great about it. Yeah. They, like, there's a possibility that they could be kicked out. Like, I think the transgender suicide rate is, like, 41%. And it's insane.
It's very high.
And it's, like, and, like, some people will be, like, I heard this nonsense argument that was, like, if your child is that, like, you don't want to, like, it's like, if you inform someone about the transgender community and they turn out to be like, oh, that's what I feel like, I identify as that, you're exposing them to that suicide rate. And I thought that was such a nonsense argument, because it's like, you know why it's so high? It's because people are so intolerant. It's the whole thing that you're doing right now is why they do it. Anyways, sorry. But I also think that on the topic of that, you were talking about how you wanted, like, some opinions on whether, like, it was a choice or not.
Yeah, hold that.
Okay.
Let me get, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get to you, and then we'll come back to that. You need to take my job.
I was actually going to kind of talk about that.
Oh, okay, great.
I... like, from a lot of people say, like, layers the science, layers the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I need facts. Mm-hmm. And I've done a little looking into it, and people are literally born gay, homosexual males react to male pheromones, vice versa for lesbian people, but also, apparently there's like an evolutionary advantage, because humans can't survive on their own, and we kind of make groups of people, and studies I can show that if there is a gay person, they are more likely to give back to the community because they don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
They call it indirect fitness.
Okay. So I think what people mistake as a choice, like, they're like, wow, there are a lot more of these people who are identifying as this. It's because there's more exposure and more, there's less stigmatization of being LGBT and transgender. Do you want to go?
I can wait. Go ahead.
Go on.
Okay.
Just let me know. I'll get to all of you. Don't worry.
There's less stigma, and there's more awareness about it, and more education, and so more people feel comfortable. Like, wow, I identify with this, or wow, this makes sense. Yes, exposure has something to do with it, but it's not because of, like, ooh, it's a choice. It's because you're becoming educated. I honestly think the choice argument is so stupid. Like, even if it was, then, like, it's also, a choice is also being straight. Then, like, what's going on there? Why is straight the default? Why is everything so heteronormative?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, no, it's not. It's just a weird argument to me.
Okay.
Oh, I was just going to say about, like, the whole choice thing. I remember there was a thing going around, and I don't remember who it was, but I remember it was, like, a couple adults, and they were talking about it. I think I was on a cruise, but they were talking about how, like, their daughter had just come out to them, and they were, like, pretending like it didn't happen. Because they were saying how, like, because more LGBTQ plus, like, the community itself, like, more people were coming out about their sexuality because they finally felt, like, safer to do it. Mm-hmm. Because they were like, oh, my God. And they were like, it's just a trend. And I wanted to say something so bad, but I was like, you know what, Taylor, it isn't your place to say anything. But I just kind of wanted to bring that up because I remember that was a big thing, and everybody was like, "You're not part of the LGBTQ. You're just trying to join the trend."
And that's important because I think that illustrates the attitudes, and that's what we're talking about: attitudes that people form. Yeah, we'll go right around the table, okay?
Yeah, back to the 20-year shift thing. If in 2019 we were in the same attitudes as we were before, like 20 years ago, it would be the exact same. It's not like it's a trend or people are choosing to do this and be this or whatever. It's that people are now more accepting, and even though there is a good amount of backlash for whoever you are, there's still a lot less than there was before.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were, once again, back 20 years ago, there would still definitely be a lot of people that are not who they are as a person. They'd be people that others want them to be.
Comment? I know you had comments.
All right, so if you're a transgender person, like let's say that you are born a male, but you are mentally a female, I would like you as a person right now, imagine yourself wearing a dress and going outside. Do you know how awkward you would feel? Well, imagine that, except nobody realizes that. Like, you are just hiding this unpleasant feeling your entire life because you don't feel like who you actually are. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's a lot easier to come out to who you really are, and that's why a lot of people are doing it. It's not like people are just becoming gay, like it's a trend, like you just turn it on and off, like the Book of Mormon did the play about that, right? Yeah. No, it's because people realize it's less likely to have a bunch of backlash against them. They can finally feel comfortable about who they are.
It's like the whole trans trenders argument. Oh yeah, you can't see my hands. I'm making your quotes. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just the fact that this community is getting more positive exposure. Like, there are still myriad of problems with LGBTQIA+ representation,
mm-hmm.
but there is more than there was, and it's an introduction to people who might not be familiar with the community, especially familiar in a positive light. Having more characters that are just going about their day. I think it's important to have that, but I also do think it's important to have media that highlights the struggles. But we're getting more representation now than we have, like, especially positive representation. Like, you know, the Hazings Code just obliterated any possibility of there being anything for, like, I think it was, like, from the 20s to the 70s. I don't know. And we had negative portrayals. And only recently have we started to get a couple more positive portrayals in, like, pretty mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, that term's shifting because of, like, binging stuff like Netflix. But, you know, more people are becoming aware about it, and more people are being represented, and I, like, it's a step. It's a good step.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I just, like, want to give creds to, like, older generations, like, with backlash and stuff, because, like, ever since I came out to, like, my family and my friends and everything, and, like, I'm, like, open about it. Like, I'm not gonna, like, go in your face and be like, hey, I'm pan. Like, if you ask, I'll be like, yeah, I'm pansexual. But, like, I get a lot of backlash, like, every day for it. Like, just from old, like, friends who, like, aren't accepting of it. Or, like, all this other stuff. And so, like, I'm glad I do get a lot of support. But it's easier to see the negative than it is to see the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm already, like, struggling, like, just a little bit with it. And so, like, I don't know how they could have done it.
Yeah, on the topic of old friends and stuff, you know, I also have a lot of old friends that know my advocacy and know how I'm accepting, but they are not at all, and they send me things on a daily basis, and like they do it to try to get a reaction, and giving a reaction just makes them do it even more. And it's a daily basis thing. They send me stuff, and it's like, oh, isn't that funny? When they know that it's not funny, right. And I ignore it, even though it's hard to. And like Taylor said, it's a lot easier to see the negative than the positive. But getting that stuff sent to you
No, there's nothing positive about that. No. And it's not sent in a positive manner.
No,
either.
Not at all.
You know? I saw a hand. Somebody had something they wanted to say. Yes.
I feel like I'm talking too much. But
no, that's what it's about. We want to hear your opinions.
Okay. What was it?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go to two and we'll come back. No problem.
Speaking of the things, I think it's also important to teach people about the history of being gay and being transgender, because if we humanize people more, hate
Okay, I got it.
You got it?
Back at what I said at the start, where I was saying that, you know, the transgender community is still less accepted than other aspects of the LGBTQ plus community. I don't know if this is super relevant, but, you know, especially to younger generations, memes are, like, a way of communicating. And in the past, like, a couple of recent years, a lot of memes, if they didn't start out as harmful, have been co-opted as harmful, say, Pepe the Frog as a hate symbol, the Apache attack helicopter meme, which is transphobic, all of those, like, they help normalize transphobia, especially in younger generations who can't see the explicit bigotry. Well, it's a bit more implicit, but they can't see it, and they use it, and then when, you know, individuals who are hurt by it speak out against it, they won't recognize it. They'll be confused. They're like, why? I'm not a bigot. Why are you attacking me? Mm-hmm. And I do admit that our community, some people lash out when someone's genuinely ignorant, but I don't, and it is good in correcting the ignorance, as Jude says, like, we need more education, we need more widespread education, but I also think that it's important to acknowledge that even if it comes from a place of ignorance, it can hurt just as much, and so when they lash out because they've seen that maliciously thrown at them before, and they lash out at you who was using it unaware of its bigotry, that it's coming, like, but what you did, even, like, if it was ignorance, it hurt them. And you need to be able to be like, wow, I'm sorry. I will try to be aware of this and not use it again. But I see a lot of people who instead are reacting like, oh, no, triggered leftists, triggered liberals. You don't like me using a meme.
Well, Lindsay, I appreciate you sharing that, and I was writing this down as you were talking. We need to, and I want to invite all of you right now to come back next semester after the new year to talk about the whole education component. And when I say the education component, I mean talk about the memes and what they represent, because a lot of people don't know, okay? They aren't familiar with it. And also the nomenclature. And that's why every time you made a term, I'd say, define it. Because the listening audience are not up. They're not savvy on exactly what things, you know, what they mean, what you're referring to. So the invite is out there. We'll schedule it, after we come back at the beginning of the new year. Because I think that would be really very, very important and helpful. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I think another one of the things, like, why widespread education needs to be implemented is because right now the pressure is on, like an individual, say you are like a transgender and non-binary and someone comes up to you and is like, I don't know what you represent. The pressure is on that person mm-hmm. to represent the whole of the community at that right. point.
We have run out of time, which is what always happens. But I would like to say thank you, express my appreciation for you coming and sharing your opinions. To my listening audience, thanks for the privilege of your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.